What time do we start?
Now.
Amazing.
In 1 minute.
Okay.
No, we already started. Yeah.
Amazing. Okay, cool. So we saw, we had all sorts of presentation formats. I think by now we had some sort of a keynote. We had a round table as a standing or like a stand-up act. And now we are going to do a live demo. And I'm just the supporting act, so to say, in the beginning and the end. But we have Virgil from the Dinum, and we have also Yusuf, who's one of the developers. We can shut the door at some point. And it's basically one of the results of what we spoke about today in the morning. And that's where I'm going to do the frame, so to say, once, and then we go right into the product. This live demo is one of a product which we created within the 100-day challenge, especially, where it started and then it evolved. It's a cooperation between CENDIS, the Center for Digital Sovereignty within the German government, as well as the DINUM, which is, in English, if you translate it, it's some sort of an interministerial directorate for digital affairs, as well as the IT of the state of France. And it's really important to see that We brought in together different aspects in regards to needs that we have, solutions which are out there, and a possibility basically which we needed also for the challenge to succeed. Because if you work on a product, you not only need some sort of a project management tool, and you need a video conferencing solution, and you need, I don't know, in-person hackathons, but you also need some sort of a place where you can just write down your life notes, so to say, within. And so this is what we are basically about to see. I think one of you guys are going to talk while the other one is chatting or so within the document. I'm sure that everybody else can at some point also try it once you start using our tools. And I'm going to hand over to Virgil, who's going to present basically the results of what we did within the 100-day challenge. And I think it's really important to understand that this is some sort of a development which is not based on what we heard so far, always some sort of a we procure something and then we find someone who's going to deliver a product or so, but this is something where we started as two governments, so to say, working together, and we are going to look on how we can implement that back into our systems, which we have. So without further ado, Virgil.
Thank you, Alex. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is hard. Okay. So, the agenda of today is, of course, the context which Alex just gave. Now we are entering into what is docs, why docs, and then the live demo, which cross your fingers for us, should be okay. This is the live instance of the ministry, so if it crashes, many people are going to be angry, so let's hope that it will work for us. So why docs? As Alex saying, not everyone needs to format the document. Maybe sometimes you want to focus on content, just throw your notes, share them, and not make it look super shiny with like pixel perfect stuff, because that takes time. So Docs is like here for you to focus on your content. It's a web-based product. You can share it with your friends and co-live edit in real time. So we already use this kind of product at the DINUM ministry. So some of you are familiar with like collaborative Markdown product like EdgeDoc, HackMD, which is awesome, but doesn't scale very much to the rest of the state, because DINUM is a bunch of geeks. Maybe our friends at other ministry are not Markdown fans, so that was a problem. Also, EdgeDoc is not really maintained anymore, so we say, hey, how about like we do a product that is like both, we can both do Markdown and both use a toolbar to edit our documents. And that's what we came up for the challenge that Alex just mentioned, and we've built it together. So that is why. Now we're entering the live demo, and what I will show you is all of this. So basically, when you get in Docs, you get this, like an index of document, and what you will do in this page is look for a document or create a document. This is not very interesting because it's just opening a page, it will be blank, but I prepared a document for now, so we will open it and we will try to find it. Okay, so it's called Docs Demo, so I can find it here. If I want to find it back again, I can pin it like this and it will appear in here. I have all my docs that are shared with me and the one I created, but I also have like my docs and the ones that were shared with me. But another way of finding them is by looking for them with their title, and this is my doc. Okay, awesome. So I found my document. So maybe what I want to do is I'm not just taking note by myself, I want to take note with people. So I can, the other reason we built a product is that Edge Doc is great, but it's all link sharing. So people who can who have like a login, if they get your ID of the document, they can go inside and there is not like specific sharing. So that's the first thing we added. If I want to share a document, I get like a normal sharing model, and I'm going to add Youssef here. If he exists, he will just pop up in there and he will have access and he will receive an email. Hey, Virgil shared this with you. If he doesn't exist, he will say, hey, welcome to Docs, and you have a document. So I'm inviting Youssef. I have like, he can be a reader, an editor, an administrator, or even an owner. So I can leave and he can become the owner. I have the burden of maintaining the document. For now, you just be an editor, Youssef. You're not a public agent yet. So now Youssef has access. And another way is that, okay, it's cool to invite people, but it's cumbersome. Maybe I don't even know who I need to invite on this document. So link sharing, right? So I can have link sharing for like, I can publish my document on the web. I can restrict it to the people who have access with their login and their SSO to my document, or I can just say only Youssef and the people invited. Here, we are doing a public demo. I don't expect you to be all French agents. So we are going to have a public document with editing. So don't troll us on the document. And now I have Youssef that came in the document. This is Youssef, and this is some anonymous guy. Okay. I say, don't troll us. So so you can see that people are editing. Please stop. Okay. Or we don't proceed with the live demo. All right, thank you. Okay, so you messed up with our document. It's fine. What we will do is that we will restore the snapshot from like 2 minutes ago. And don't do it again, okay? Okay, Youssef.
Now, yeah, you've already seen some Collaborate Live. Maybe, if you don't mind, I want to change the agenda a little bit, if I can add an agenda point. So maybe after the demo, you can still continue the demo, show some of the other features, but afterwards I would love to tell you about the work that we've been doing on Blocknote, which is the collaborative text editor that you see right here. That's powering the text part of the Docs experience.
So maybe one of Youssef's colleagues in the room, I know there are two Blocknote people, I don't see them. Yeah, you're here. Are you here? Where are you? Oh, you're the anonymous guy. So you're new to Blocknote, right? New people make mistakes. So make a mistake. Oh, shit. So okay. We don't have a presentation anymore. This is the end of the talk. No, not really. Just like before, I will restore a document. This shit happened all the time when we collaborate. It's okay. We will restore and proceed with the presentation. There are a bunch of other features that we would like to show you. So now I'm online, right? It's a web-based product. Maybe I'm on the train, traveling, seeing some colleagues outside of Paris, because it's nice to get outside of Paris. So I will shut down my Wi-Fi. What happens? Well, I can still do. I can still like write my document, upload stuff, and what it will do. So I won't see my colleagues anymore because I'm not online, but I will be able to continue working, which is nice for your taxes and your productivity of public agents. And when I will go back online again, my edit will sync with the documents one by one.
So the other people will see appearing them on the document again. So hopefully I'm online again. So as I was saying, I can upload medias because I want pictures of my document so that they look nice. So we made stickers that you can see on the table here. And I will put my stickers so that you can see how nice they are and you want to grab them. This is the baguette is France, the cheese is Netherlands, and the bretzel is our German friends. This is Europe making open source. It's awesome. Yes, government can code, of course. And we are shipping the sovereign workspace one commit at a time. What can I show? Okay, shiny part of the demo and also a risky one. So, let's say I'm not a good English speaker, so I will write my name is Virgil. Okay, so my English is terrible, right? So I will ask the AI to maybe correct what I said. Okay, correct it. My name is Virgil. Awesome. But as you can see, there are a bunch of other features. So if you click on there, you can like use that as a prompt. So I could ask him to write something for me, rephrase, summarize, and even like as we are working with German friends and Netherlands, sometimes we translate. And this is handy. I guess that's it, and I will give it back to you.
Yes, thank you. There we go. Virgil works for the French government. You work for Zendes, who have been working on the entire application. But for that, they already started, and they started building the application, and they chose to use open source project that I happen to be working on independently with my colleagues. And this is called Blocknote, and I actually started working on this several years ago. What I found, I was building playing around. I wanted to build a project, and for that, I needed a modern text editor. With a high quality UX that users nowadays expect from products like Notion or Google Docs or similar. And surprisingly, that was not really a solved problem, it seemed. So that was kind of a rabbit hole to have that text editing part. So we set out on building that. I think the current ecosystem, there are good low-level libraries that you might be familiar with, like ProseMirror, Lexical, or TipTap. But you still need really a lot of dedicated expertise to build a good product on top of that. And there are high-level editors, but they are either not all open source, not completely open source, or they are a little bit old-fashioned in terms of UX and developer experience. So that's why we started building Blocknote. It builds on top of the shoulders of giants, so like ProseMirror and TipTap, but it comes battery included. So it has all the UI elements and all the things that users get to expect right now, so that other people can really focus on building a cool product around that and don't have to focus on all the little details that comes with building a good text editor. Let's see, so this work was funded, part of a project that was funded by NLNet through NLNet and the NGI Next Generation Internet Europe project. So thanks to that, it was possible to really start experimenting and start building this in the early days. And it has resonated quite a bit. So it turned out a lot of other engineers were also needed a component like this. So over the last couple of years, we've grown quickly. They are like vanity metrics, but I've at least we've seen, okay, more than 7,000 stars on GitHub of developers wanting to use this, more than 30,000 weekly downloads on NPM. So this really resonates. And it kind of like unlocks innovation for developers, organizations, startups to build products on top of text editors. And as I said, without having to worry about the nitty gritty details, but really about the innovation around it. So in this case, how do you integrate it into a digital, sovereign digital workspace? How do you enable the sharing? This is all stuff that you've built in-house and you didn't have to worry about the text editing component anymore, because that's an open source library that you take from us, so to say. Yeah, and the collaboration with Zendes and Denum, a little bit about that. So that's been super interesting and really helped us also to bring the library to the next level. It was actually before, I didn't work with governments before, like my background is more in startups, and I have been surprised. Maybe, yeah, you've got this association like, okay, working with the government is slow, etc. And it really made me feel like, okay, we are more in the startup environment. So that has been really, really, really cool. We do like weekly stand-ups, and it really feels like, yeah, almost like a startup environment. So I'm confident for the future of Europe in this regard. But also what's important is there's a clear notion of, okay, I think we're being conscious about who builds what. Of course, we're building an open source project, and we don't want to just be building whatever the like a client needs, because we have our independent roadmap, etc. So it's like, okay, we really look at, okay, features that might be on our roadmap, but it also makes sense for the docs project that you then sponsor and allow us to build independently, and then release in a new version, and then becomes part of the docs product. So it's not like we're part of the team. There are separate projects, but you sponsor features that you need. But that in the end, everybody benefits. So all the users of our open source library, they benefit from the things that are sponsored. So some examples have been better interoperability with existing data formats. So exporting to PDF and docx and ODT, which we can now all do client-side. Several UX improvements. And what's next is we will really focus on like more heavy collaborative functions. So integrating comments, versioning, suggestions, things like that. So that's going to be really exciting. And I'm looking forward to that.
Yay. Exports. Yeah, thanks. Just to outline what you were saying is that this is a really good example of two things. When you're joining forces,